Welcome to the Debut Podcast. The Debut Podcast is set against the backdrop of the third iteration of the Debut Program. This is a program that is an initiative between Business and Arts South Africa and the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. And this program is designed to help young creatives to launch their businesses. Today we're shooting this podcast at MTN headquarters in Fairlands. Yeah. So I am your host with the most, Zanele Madiba. I am the programs manager at Business and Arts South Africa. And today we're going to be challenging one of my favorite myths. Is being an artist very viable or is it a side gig? So whether you are an artist, a creative, or someone who's simply interested in the arts, you will be interested to listen to this podcast. I have two incredible guests who are award-winning, pretty much multi-award-winning. Those are two guests. We have Matabo Tladi, who is an entrepreneur who has invested a lot of her skills into acting, writing, producing, and directing. She's very passionate about audience development, and she's very much about advocating within this creative space. Matabo uses her voice really to draw attention to artistry in South Africa. She does this through her platform, Zazi Creative. She is a seasoned communicator and used the skills to co-found and host Alan and Jill Gray Philanthropies' premier education podcast. That was a mouthful, but it's pretty much JGF Amplified, which was the leading education podcast in South Africa in her tenure as a programs officer. Matabo is an award-winning author and a Naledi Award-nominated actor and director, speaker and an ideas coach. And she is currently the program designer of the National Mandela Foundation's Making Reading Fun, a program that introduces civic education to children. Welcome, Matabo.
Yay! Thank you so much, Zanele. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Matabo. And our second guest is Jefferson Bobs Tshabalala.
Sketchmaster.
Who is a multi-award-winning creative who works as an artist, an entrepreneur, and a teacher. And he is a recipient of the Standard Bank Young Artist Award for the year 2020 for theater, the Arts and Culture Trust Impact Award for 2020. And he has also garnered lots and lots of awards in this industry for all his amazing work that he is doing. And most recently, he appeared as a leading star in Netflix. Big Nunu's Little Heist. TV
More in the string.
Yes. So I'm dealing with serious people, as you can tell. So today's podcast will be touching on business, financial literacy, networking and collaboration, sustainability, creative entrepreneurship, and most importantly, mentorship. A warm welcome to you both. So to guide...
Thank you, Zanele.
So to guide this conversation, I want to frame today's question. Can a career in the arts be more than just a side hustle? Let's dive straight in. Just before I ask you the question, art is always seen as opposite. You know, there's business and there's arts. We seldom see it as one. But actually, when it really comes together, there's this extraordinary thing that comes out as a result. We can actually achieve success when you reach that sweet, sweet spot. So, Matabo, I want to ask you, particularly with your work around Zazi Creatives, right? I want to know, how can artists develop a strategic vision that balances creative passion with business goals?
Sure, Zanele, that's really not necessarily difficult, right? But there's no prescriptive way in answering the question, because if I'm going to use my platform as an example, I started through just participating in my dream, right? So the vision is I want to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I was in Cape Town. I was in a theater. I was an audience member in a theater, and I was the only black person in the audience, right? I felt like it was a Get Out 2 sequel, and I'm the target now.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I understand the repercussions of COVID-19 and what it's done to create the separationist sort of relationship between us and visual arts.
Right.
Not visual arts, live performance.
Yeah.
So how do we bridge that? That was the question.
Yeah.
So if you're... Because there's a difference, Anela, between knowing that you are gifted. Ne? I'm an actor. I'm a voice ndondoni. I'm all these things. But what is my purpose? So my purpose is to get bums on seats. That's the language that we use, right?
Yeah.
How am I going to do that? What is the language of the audience that I'm targeting, right? Those are the questions that then inform your trajectory, because everything else follows a clear vision.
Yeah.
The money that you're going to get comes from people understanding, oh, this is what this person is about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also use a current success story. I was asked by a big bank to represent them at a festival.
Standard Bank.
Yeah. Standard Bank. I don't want to be putting people's brands.
We love it. Shout out to Standard Bank Arts. We love it.
And the recurring question is, how did you get it? As though I had put in a proposal.
Yeah.
But I was just doing my work. Doing it quietly, doing it loudly, doing it with intention, doing it when I thought that my ideas were boring, doing it when I got tens of thousands, but like comments that were really encouraging, doing it when I didn't get any encouragement, right? And they reached out to me.
Yeah.
Because the work spoke to the thing that I'm doing, and that's my highest paying client at the moment.
Yeah.
So going back to your question, enter the arena.
Yeah.
Of your dreams.
Yeah.
Enter that arena.
Yeah.
Figure out what your voice looks like in pragmatic terms.
Yeah.
Because once we identify those pragmatics, we can attach a number to those pragmatics. Until then, it's all just, it was all a dream.
It was all a dream.
But just to build on that it was all a dream, but also just merging that the talent, and then you are waiting for an opportunity and you are ready as well. And then there's big paying clients. And I think that's the kind of viability, how we can commercialize on our art, but without losing that integrity. I really just want to hold that as a thread.
Mm.
But I want to come to you, Jefferson, and just, I mean, looking at Ubdobshishini.
Mm.
Ubdobshishini really is an umbrella of your work, right? Mm. It holds your Simpa, it holds your location. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It holds a lot of what you do, right? So I want to ask you, what are some common challenges that you face as artists who's trying to blend creativity with business? And how did you overcome some of this obstacle?
Iplemali.
Where is the money?
And that's the perpetual question.
Yeah.
And in a place that doesn't necessarily look at the arts as like a prime priority, to be one who does already ostracizes you from like the arena that you're trying to get into.
Yeah.
I love the idea of like participating in your dream. Ne?
Yeah.
And sometimes you are participating in your nightmare. That's what your dream comes with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it comes with the difficult moments where you're questioning what it means to be sustainable, what it means to be financially savvy, what it means to realize that my actual business is this. I thought I was doing this, but my actual business is this.
Yeah.
This is the thing that sustains the thing I like to do.
Yeah.
Also, I have to do this other thing in order to do this. So it's like a relay of constant, what am I sacrificing? What am I compromising? What are my non-negotiables?
Yeah.
And we at Ubdobshishini have closed 10 times and reopened 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, Sinpa, we've closed 10 times, reopened 10 times. Yeah. You keep on recalibrating, because until you cross the threshold where you're like your tipping point, you are now on the other side. You can begin to, even on your worst day, continue to be functional. But we've come to grinding halts.
Yeah.
We've gotten to places where you come to a grinding halt and you go, maybe we need a few months off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we need to take a breather, re-strategize, come back to it. Yeah. And I've had to learn that, like, you're right, Nalowe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always going to be firing on all cylinders. Yeah. And sometimes that could be the model.
Yeah.
Stopping and starting could be the model.
Yeah. Mm.
Sustainability does not always mean firing on all steams throughout. Some things are seasonal.
Yeah.
And you can go, actually, we do this business for this amount of time.
Yeah.
When it's peaking at this thing.
Yeah.
And then we can maybe like cascade a little bit, chill while we pursue other ventures, come back to the live thing.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're just selling the books.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're touring.
Yeah.
To go, okay, so we don't have to feel like success for us means we're doing this all year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going, these are the departments, these are the seasons, and this is how it works strategically.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to continue with the thought because it's so important. It's really hitting money matters. You know, you've used buzzwords like sustainability. Mm. And I'm thinking, to you, Jefferson, because you're very much in this business kind of center. That's where you're currently operating.
Right.
How vital is knowing business, the comments of it, like from budgeting to pricing your stuff? So I want to clarify very much, like, why is financial literacy crucial for creatives?
Yo, Yazine, just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I was in a mentorship session with someone who's been in business much longer than I have.
Yeah.
And I said in that session, I was fortunate enough to get like a dedicated hour, two hours, like where the person was breaking things down for me. And you know when you feel like a novice and you've been doing something for over a decade and you realize that, that's my pitfall. Mm. Oh, this is where I'm going wrong.
Yeah.
I could have monetized much sooner on this. I could have done this with this much profit. And like, I'm realizing that even with this much experience, my literacy is not at the level that it needs to be.
Yeah.
It makes me shudder to think what omnye umuntu ongenayo an opportunity or who's not even close to the sector, who wants to start a business, like that, how far they actually are from this like wealth of knowledge.
Mm. Yeah.
I've managed to secure someone who can teach me that through my credentials in other things.
Yeah.
So kikeniga double up.
Yeah. Mm.
Whereas other people would have to pay a pretty penny for an hour of that person's time.
Yeah.
And I feel that like knowing how the money moves, knowing how to make it, knowing how to strategize around it, knowing how to balance it, having a good relationship with your accountant. All those things like play a very pivotal role, not just in your business, but in the way you run your life.
Yeah. Mm.
And for the most part, if you're a freelancer, the way you run your life will invariably have a way in how you run your business.
Matabo, you were given the nods. Guess what? You were nodding.
I want to know Jefferson, you know, talking about the accountant.
I heard that.
Because we also need to look at the machine that he's building.
Yeah.
It's the product is tangible, right?
Yeah.
But when you are the product, you are the output.
Yeah.
You are, I think,
one man show.
Were you one?
Yeah.
In the scariest way. Were you one man show?
In the most frightening way.
Community has saved my life. And I've been a person in the past who has been so precious about her ideas. They're going to steal my ideas. Community has helped me invoice better.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
When I tell them, so recently, someone who was who has been noticing my work, I called them up. I'm just like, hey, dude, this is what I invoiced these people before. Now they want me to do this thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't take into account then that I short-sold myself. Yeah. Right?
Even then.
Then. Yeah. Now I wanna come up with my big girl money.
Yeah.
Right? How do I justify so kindly within a 15-minute call?
Yeah.
Yenza so.
So community really plays a pivotal role.
Yeah.
Zanella, how did you... Jefferson, how did you? Matabo, how did you?
Yeah.
It is an inbox.
Yeah.
It is an email. It is a phone call. It is a WhatsApp text.
Yeah.
Knowledge is available, but if you don't have the clarity of what it is that you want to do, you won't even know what question to ask.
Yeah. But I want to sit on that because you're talking about monetary value and artists struggle. Hey?
Yeah,
they undervalue themselves.
Yeah,
they constantly don't know their fee. They're like, is there? Is it acceptable? And so you don't know. Most artists work from exposure, building themselves to a fee. So I want to know, what are the factors that you both are using? And what do you think about when you are putting a price? When you're putting value to the work, and it's very difficult because we don't want to say art is, because art is always more expensive than the rate at which it is priced.
Yes.
Right. But I want to know the factors. Give people the nitty-gritties. What must they do when they're looking at that painting of theirs or a script that must go? What should they be thinking about?
For me, the journey began with psychologically and spiritually unearthing the negative perceptions that I have of money and what I actually deserve.
Yebo.
Just as a human being.
Yebo.
My relationship with money, how I conceptualize money, what I've inherited from my parents, what they inherited, what I've inherited from my community. Mm. I come from a very small town. We know how to make miracles out of nothing.
Yeah.
But my angel, what do you mean I'm making miracles out of nothing? Yeah. I need everything, right? I need everything now,
I am
right?
the miracle.
Yeah. I am the miracle now, right?
Yeah.
So it started there, the psychological unearthing of the negative negative ideas that you have around money.
Yeah.
Secondly, it is also realizing, Zanele, because art is very personal. Mm. So you think that you are training when you're in university. You think that you are training when you are with your coach. You train every day, even in your psychological space. Mm. Yeah. A singer is not only singing with their coach, they're singing in the house. They're singing. So you are constantly in the mode of practice. And now you think that you need to underscore your gift because it comes so easily.
Mm.
Your worth is not attached to the difficulty of the work.
Yeah. Mm.
You have clocked in your 10,000 hours
in
ways that you yourself, because you are walking, you're a walking representation of your gift. You are constantly, actively doing the work.
Yeah.
Understanding that too.
Yeah.
Accounting for the fact that I went to school. Accounting for the student loans. Accounting for how I have built myself as a brand, as a credible brand.
Yeah.
If you want Matawa at your event, you know that the people who I'm appealing to see the legitimacy of that brand being one that is arts-focused, artist-focused, craft-centered, right?
Yeah.
That is what I come with. Yeah. Understanding that when Zanele is in the room, when Zanele is not there, even Matabo being there, even Jefferson is not there, there is a deficit because I care for Zanele.
Yeah.
So also just understanding that, like, don't come with on the table with cupped hands.
Yeah.
No one is doing you a favor. You have crafted yourself.
Yeah.
Now be conscious of the things that make you.
Mm.
And then we talk about the big girl money.
You are the table.
Hey. My angel, you are the building, you are the flight of stairs. You are the foundation, my
that.
Angel. You are everything.
Love that.
Love it.
Love it. I'm hotspotting this answer. Like, I'm downloading from this.
You are there.
Absolutely,
you are there.
Because I also feel like there's that part about, like, negative perceptions of what money is.
Oh, my angel.
Is like, if
thank
if
you, Apartheid.
Yeah. The design is strong.
Thanks, Apartheid.
I really feel like sometimes I look at my invoices to clients and I go, you? Ben ngazum niga mna umdu imali.
Yeah.
For lendo nzawiyenza. Right? I'm like, but then I also think about, I don't have the budget to afford me.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have the budget to afford myself as a service provider.
Yeah.
And I mustn't quote thinking that I am the client.
Yeah.
So that was such a big shift in my brain, because I go, if my friends are doing something, if my community is doing something, I'll show up and I'll MC. But when I MC, something happens in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something happens in the room that wouldn't happen if I wasn't MCing.
Yeah.
And because I can do that at no invoice, when a corporate client wants me to do that for them, I think, like, this comes easy to me.
Yeah.
But, like, that thing of I'm constantly practicing this, I'm constantly honing the fact that I can create this atmosphere just like this.
Yeah.
It goes, oh, I have to count what my rate card says about all the free shows I've done. What does my rate card say about all the experience that I've garnered to be able to do this for you like this?
Yeah.
Because it's at the snap of a button for you.
Yeah.
But it's a collation of all the times I've tanked.
Yeah.
All the times I've been put off stage.
Yeah.
Or you were not there when all those things were happening.
Yeah.
And that's my tuition.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's my level of grind and experience. Yeah. And yeah. Because I can't pay for that, yeah. It doesn't mean I shouldn't charge others mm-hmm. for that.
Yep.
I mustn't not yeah. think that just because I am not within. So it does, hey, I stopped emceeing at my shows because yeah. I couldn't afford me.
Yeah.
And every time I did it, I was like, I must get something in kind yeah. from this production company,
yeah.
even if it's mine.
Yeah.
Because this thing is a very sought after thing that I
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And few people know how to do it the way that I do.
Yeah.
So I think not being intimidated by what it is that you bring
yeah.
will mm. allow you to charge people what it's worth.
Yeah.
And just because you can't afford it doesn't yeah. mean it's not worth what it is.
I like that. Mm. I like that very much. And because both of you have touched on wow. community, mm. because it really does take a community, it takes a village, even mm. within the arts context, the artistic landscape. And I think you cannot achieve lots of things by yourself. Mm. We work with collaboration.
Yeah.
You are constantly networking with others. We become successful not by ourselves.
Mm.
We're not just incredible artists on our own, you mm. know. Even comedians are constantly having to bounce off their ideas.
All the time.
Every time, right? So I want to actually, Matabo, touch on a Standard Bank Arts geek. Mm. Yeah,
oh.
You know, it blew my
the
color blue, baby. The color blue, baby.
Your
biggest,
anyway, go fuck
yourself. Your biggest paying gig.
Cheers, Malaysia.
Your biggest paying gig, Matabo.
Yeah.
That's where I want to. That's far.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
far, because we're going up. Isn't yeah. that we are the table,
yes,
we are
price.
The foundation.
A prophetic word.
Yes.
I love it. Any.
What a
prophetic
word.
What a prophetic word.
Any. So I want to tackle the power of networking, the power of partnering up with others, the power of collaboration, right? Mm. So Matabo, with your latest gig, because it just happened, Goku, on the blue mic, how important is networking for artists? So can you share some tips that helps with just building this body of work and actually surrounding yourself with a community?
You know what? I don't want to lie. I have a tenuous relationship with the concept of networking
yeah.
because in my mind, I've always attached it to this sort of extractivist yeah. need. Mm. I want something mm. from
it's a business
you.
Card.
Yeah. It's a business card. Yeah. Right? Yeah. 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 Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I then had to learn very quickly that I'm not there wanting to extract.
Yeah.
Like what you said, community,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Community equals commercial value.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Community, yeah. Commercial
love
value.
It.
They are inextricably tied.
Mm.
So when I'm in conversation with Jefferson, of course I'm going to mention what it is that I do
yeah.
because in various senses it is who I am.
Yeah.
Right? I make yeah. reference without realizing
yeah.
of who I am and what mm. it is that I bring to the table.
Mm.
A tip, shout out to Utembi Losi, who once said, to be interesting, you need to be interested.
Yeah. Mm.
So approaching the conversation with, what are you doing?
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And two, quoting your work, Kupoweto type, when the guru says we are in service
yeah.
of our audience.
Mm. Yeah.
How then, if I'm interested in working with Jefferson, how does him having my interest alleviate whatever stress or whatever load
yeah.
that he may have? So
yeah.
do I come with my mind? Do
yeah.
I contribute mm. with my mind? Do I contribute with my skills?
Yeah.
Do I contribute with my attention?
Yeah.
Find out what other people need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And come in from that place of service
yeah.
as opposed
yeah, yeah, yeah.
to just...
Yeah.
Gandhi per 1, Gandhi per 2, Gandhi per 3. Do you
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you are killing two birds with one stone there. You are networking,
yeah.
but you are building your own community.
Yeah.
Because at a granular level, yeah. I understand what you need.
Yeah.
And in us working that on a granular level, you understand what I need,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Once I got over the fact that like, oh my gosh, now I'm coming to extract from people
yeah.
and come from a position of service and community equals commercial value.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. And I like that because it really speaks about mutually beneficial partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, Jefferson, that's where you sit because yeah. you are a collaborator. Like
yeah.
all your work from mm. business, from mm. your plays, from your game shows,
yeah.
from everything. You, I've never seen you working alone. Mm-hmm. Like from Vitz days, you've always been in a squad of working with other people. So I want to know, how do you identify collaborators? How do you look at somebody? Because Umatabo would just throw in a pitch as if I want to work with Jeff. Do you catch that and be like, that's my collaborator? or what do you look for in collaborators?
You know, I try to keep as like airy a flow as possible.
Yeah.
I try to be like as permeable as possible.
Water,
man. Love. I like to believe that like dinobu hippie, obtile, ne? Because everything that I do is like so structured, so like, but like dinobu hippie ka cool.
Yeah.
And I always think like at the right time it'll happen.
When
the energies align, it'll be good.
Yeah.
I think about like my recent work, for instance, in the theater.
Yeah.
All this work that is now suddenly been picked up by the theater duo in the last two and a half years. Is work that they were in the room of when it was still draft one.
Yeah. Mm.
They were the young actors who were reading it for me to hear what it sounds like.
Mm. Yeah.
They were the people who were first speaking those words for me to go back to my notes and go, hey, no, I heard Billy. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Mm. In the reading with Mahlatsi, I could tell it's not landing for an actor.
Yeah.
A decade later, they are the directors of those works.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's because they've been the editors of those works for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's why they have newest understanding of that work, because they were part of making it.
Yeah.
So the modern narrative will be, oh, these guys are making this guy's work.
Mm.
Whereas in my personal view, I know it's the other way around. These guys are just claiming back their royalties.
Yeah, it's collaboration.
Yeah, they don't even feel. That's why there's never a royalty conversation when we talk about that.
Yeah.
I hear that they're doing the work.
Yeah.
because it's theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
And equally, it's mine.
Yeah.
And equally, it's ours.
Yeah.
So for me, it's if we're in this room now, we're having this conversation now.
Yeah.
If in 10 years, it means we're doing something else that sparked from this room, then this was what we all collectively invested.
Yeah.
And it leads us to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I don't have a thing of, now in this financial quarter, I'm working with. No, I'm like, where's the creative energy?
Yeah.
Where's the vibe?
Yeah.
And the reason I release product is to have something that's sustainable.
Sure.
So I know, okay, I sell these clothes, I sell these books that I can measure.
Yeah.
So that when it's about creativity, I can listen.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, so when it's about creativity, and now you're la pressure, you're banner. Okay, now this is the next play.
Yeah.
No, I can just go, why haven't you written the play? Mm. I haven't had anything to say.
Mm. Mm.
And I'm not scared of not having anything to say.
Yeah.
Because when I do have something to say, I know it takes me 3 years to say it.
Yeah.
So I'm not prolific as an artist.
Yeah.
That's why I try to be more strategic as a business person.
Yeah.
So that I can have something that keeps on going. But as an artist, just slow.
Yeah.
I take too long.
Yeah.
And for me to go, I have this way of, no, I don't suss it out. I'm in the room. If the room agrees, I play.
There you go. I think we can already tell that networking and forming collaboration is more than just exchanging business cards. There is more to it. It's about value exchange. What do you bring to the table? So I really, really appreciate that. And where I want to move now is sustainability and work of social impact. And I think because both of you really work in this space, Matabo, your work really speaks about reading, promoting and advocating for reading. You've got an award-winning children's book, Wanda. Yes, Matabo, I'm very excited about that because I love reading. I think it's so important, especially in our context. South Africa, asifundi betunana. So it's really important that we have projects that actually advocate for reading.
Mm.
But I actually want to ask you, because art has always been political, especially in our context. How can artists use their work to actually advocate for social change?
I mean, it's really speaking to what bothers you.
Yeah.
Right?
Love that.
I find that a lot of us, we get in this loop because we're in this vacuum of social media.
Yeah.
We know what's bothering other people.
Mm.
But what is bothering you? And once you are able to fine comb that, then you are able to speak in a way that is so clear.
Yeah.
You're speaking from a place of confidence.
Yeah.
You're not looking to the left or to the right. Oh, Zanella said this about this.
Yeah.
Ooh, Jefferson said that about that. But you are so in tune with who you are and what is bothering you, because yeah. there are people who are represented by your yeah. presence. Yeah. I always say, and this is also like the cornerstone of my work with Zazi Creative, is that find your practitioners, mm-hmm. because creatives hold medicine to wounds that you do not have.
Yeah. Mm.
And they hold in an embrace that you never knew you needed.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to talk in the height of xenophobic conversation, mm. and I'm going to talk about the depth of heartbreak, mm. there is someone who's thinking about that yeah. with me, who yeah. doesn't have language for it, and they are represented.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So representation is that it runs deep. It starts with you,
yeah.
as opposed to representation being an act of mimicry.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think sometimes you get stuck in this vacuum yeah. of political mimicry
yeah. Yeah.
as opposed to genuine representation mm. that is sourced from what mm. is bothering you.
Yeah. I like that. I like the idea of what's bothering you, Jefferson, because you write about what bothers you.
No, no, Jefferson. You really attack what bothers you.
Bothers Jefferson.
Do you know what I mean? We know because
we know the things that stress
commanding commissars really talks about what bothers you. We know it. If you don't know it, get that book.
Type as well really just speaks about how you saying artists must take their craft seriously. So Uma Thabo says talk about what bothers you, and you are doing that. But I think there's a bit of a tension there because you want to be political and you want to speak to social change, because it kind of moves you away, because they're like, you know, are we still doing entertainment? How do you work around that tension? Sure. And how do you exist in those space where you want to say the important stuff, but also you must find a way, in a way that doesn't say shinchangok, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Nicely, how do you occupy that space?
In like, yam yes, the soft boys. Yeah, well, and ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but time to be soft.
Yeah.
And the, yo, man, the time is nice.
Yeah.
The time is nice, you know? And I come from a context where nam dukulusanga bantu who are of community.
Yeah.
So indlu ibanzi makasihlafuna omnye ngathi
yabo. Yeah.
So now that I've gotten to a place where I can attain some soft boy attributes.
Love it.
It hurts me when other boys are not soft, yabo. Cuz yeah. now I go, I have this internal battle with self.
Yeah.
That, okay, I've been privileged enough to come from this family that yeah. is nuclear, yeah. that other people might not have.
Yeah.
I've been privileged enough to go to these schools yeah. that have exposed me to this much that other people have not yeah. gotten. I'm privileged enough to have this talent that yeah. has exposed me to heights that I never thought I could reach as a human being,
yeah.
destinations that I never thought I could go to.
Yeah.
And then I sit with, does this mean this is only for a chosen few,
yeah.
you know, so yeah. that survivor's guilt comes to go,
yeah,
man, I grew up with this person.
Yeah.
I'm experiencing this life and he's experiencing this life.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me.
Yeah.
That's what like bothers yeah. me. So yeah. many of those challenges, they appear visceral outward, but it's to me.
Yeah.
The tuga amna that yeah. like, I'm enjoying this daiquiri right yes. now. This virgin mojito is tasting yeah. nice when I know someone yeah. hasn't eaten. So how do I... Yeah. How do I reconcile that in myself?
Yeah.
So it's not even about the politician that I end up writing about.
Yeah.
It's not even about this young yeah. poet that I end up... It's yeah. me going, how do I still keep a compass of self
yeah.
and enjoy what I am privy to
yeah.
and also know that I have some responsibility to pay it back in more than writing a poem about it.
Yeah.
You know, to share... In yeah. ways that are quite practical.
Yeah.
Are the people that I'm mentoring? Are the people that I'm making their journey easier than mine was?
Yeah.
Am I creating a circuit where I'm employing people? Am I connecting people? Am I doing things that change other people's real circumstances in real tangible ways?
Yeah.
And because there's that tension of ekqibeleni ndifuna soft. Because
yeah.
I don't think that's a crime.
Yeah.
Nope.
You know,
yeah.
like I don't think it's and I don't want to feel guilty for yeah. desiring softness
yeah.
because
yeah.
we all deserve it.
Yeah.
While I'm in pursuit of it,
yeah.
I also want to do so from a moral code.
Yeah.
I also want to do so knowing that I'm using this this whatever I've garnered to also help other people along because it has been done for me.
Yeah. I quite like the idea also of the moral code, and also I want to just, before we actually come to a close, I really want to touch on those two areas because, you know, creative entrepreneurship, I'm a creative entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur. You know, entrepreneurs have always been, you know, cutthroat, you know, but we don't do that as artists, you know, it's an immoral code, something that holds us, kind of guides us. And both of you identify as entrepreneur. You're very clear, what in the entrepreneur or the creative entrepreneur, or I'm a social creative entrepreneur. What does that mean for you, and what does that look like outside of the business, but operating from an artist point of view, looking into the business? What does that mean for you? How do you position that? But also I want to layer that, and I want to layer it with the idea of what has been the role of mentorship in kind of you finding yourself in that space.
Can I vote? I've been faced with decisions. I've been faced with decisions where I could exponentially grow my manufacturing wing if I shifted my production to, I'll say this, white-oriented companies. And I'd be getting amazing Yelp reviews. I'd be... There's something about knowing the people that made this. There's something about knowing the family that benefits from manufacturing this. For those of you who are not hearing me well right now, I'll consider you. I can see the businesses that me being a client to helps. I can see people's immediate context change because of my business. There are times sometimes where you just think, you know what, I must just sell this thing, go the mainline way, go to Manir Mang Mang, and just like hand over this operation, and you think about what does that take out? You know? I have been patronized. I have been made to earn a career from the dollar, from the buck, from the rand of black people. And I cannot in good conscience undermine the fact that I am worthy of their money. But are worthy of producing for them. You know? So in tugs of war like that, sometimes, like, if I was like a business coach to my, I would come and say, hey man, just go the easy route. Just go to, but then I go, it's the easy route because of that design that took over 50 years to make. The reason these guys are quicker at producing, the reason they have the infrastructure, they, it's all by design. And if I talk about, I want to advocate for a world where my service providers are black and they do well and they are, I have to begin to invest in that world. And if I flop, if I don't deliver sometimes on time, if I'm late, if I, that's part of the pain of voting for the world I want to be in. And I need to bear the brunt every now and again of, ish, my reputation around this is not so great, but we're getting better year by year. And these guys are becoming capacitated. These guys are becoming swifter. These guys are improving. The quality is better. Because I want to believe that this world can happen.
Matabo, Ivale, around mentorship, what should people be looking at in a mentor-mentee relationship?
Firstly, let go of the performativity of the word entrepreneur. Right? We have this idea of how the entrepreneur looks like, how they sound like, the kinds of gadgets that you have. You would sacrifice imali onayo that could go back into your business in practical ways to buy the clothes that make you look like an entrepreneur. I wanna cite a moment in 2017. Myself and Campbell, Jessica Mias produced Yellow Man. I performed in it. Tsego Kutswane was our director. Jacques De Silva was my co-star. They came in. So our pressure was to be on some, this is Jacques, this is Tsego. We need to make sure that, you know, our stuff is sorted. They are exponentially ahead of us. And they are willing to partake in this feast that you are trying to prepare for Abantu. Open yourself up to what wisdom is saying in the room. Don't think just because you're an entrepreneur, detach yourself from the pressure of being perfect. Entrepreneur is equals to imperfection. Sinpa failed 10 times. Can't tell you how many times that I failed in my endeavor. But it's a kubekeka. So with mentorship, be open to the voices around you. Sometimes it's not going to Zanele Madiba, but she's my mentor. But you have mentors along the way, everywhere. Everywhere. From your family to the members of your community. Take heed to the voice that is in the room. Because sometimes we are so like aspirational. I want Bonang to be my girl. I want her. No. If you are following the conviction, the provision is right here. You don't need to look outside of yourself, outside of your environment to be able to hook onto what is yours that can help you in taking that journey. So formalized mentorship is great. There are financial implications to that. But if you're following your conviction, you are participating in the arena of your dreams, I promise you, inqabiso is all around you. Listen.
I like that. I like that very much. And I'm sure our viewers and our listeners are going to want you to mentor them. So please just let us know where they can find you. Jefferson, let us know where they can find you. Matabo, let us know where they can find you so they can reach out for that mentorship, for those advice. Let us know.
At Jefferson Tshabalala on Instagram, Jefferson Tshabalala on Facebook, J-Bobs Tshabalala on X, Twitter. And info@updopshishini for all business-related queries.
Okay. Love it.
Simple. At Zazi_creative on Instagram. I do not have Igila for X or Twitter. So I am most certainly just on Instagram. And you can email me on mattytlali@gmail.com. mattytlali@gmail.com.
You can tell when somebody just gives out their email all the time. We can totally get that. Thank you so much. Thank you. A big thank you to our guest, Matabo Tladi and Jefferson Bobs Tshabalala, for your insights on this beautiful, beautiful discussion. And thank you to MTN for this beautiful space. We are at the MTN headquarters here in Fairlands. And thank you to our funder, the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, who without the funding, the podcast wouldn't really be possible at all. We depend on their funding. So thank you so much for making the debut program possible. But thank you to you, our listeners and our viewers, for tuning in for this insights. And thank you to the team at Business in South Africa for making this happen. So be sure to subscribe, share, and stay tuned to more episodes where we continue to explore the intersection between creativity and business. Until next time, keep creating. Keep thriving. Bye.